The following is a presentation from the pulpit of Lancaster Baptist Church. For more audio and video content from our ministry, please visit lancasterbaptist.org.
You know, one of the things that I've tried to do as a pastor and as a Christian man is I've tried to find men who have gone before me in their race, and I've tried to learn from them. It always concerns me when younger pastors are only a little sarcastic about the generation before them. I have found that there's so much wisdom to be gained from men like Dr. Sisk and others if we'll take the time. And as I have found those men, I've tried also to bring them to our pulpit to share with you some things that are just pivotal truths that have helped them in their lives and in their churches. And so each night during the conference, we're going to take 10 or 15 minutes to hear from one such man about the subject of grace giving and the biblical truth. And he's going to just kind of unbury a little bit of a biblical nugget each night for us in a devotional missionary moment. And I'm going to ask Brother Halsey to come. He's been a wonderful pastor in Virginia. He's been the far north director for Baptist International Missions Incorporated and serving all the missionaries in Canada and Alaska. And so many of my friends, Brother Lou Baldwin, Brother Mike Edwards, so many of them over the years have said, if you want someone to talk to you about grace giving, you want to hear from Brother Halsey. And as I've heard him over the years and heard of his material, I asked him if he'd come this year. And just before we have our special song in a few moments, I want Brother Halsey to share with us how individually we can get plugged in to worldwide evangelization. And it'll be in three parts tonight, Monday night and Tuesday night. But let's hear the counsel from someone who's been down the road, faithful to God, faithful to the Word, faithful to his wife, faithful to the calling of God, and faithful in giving. And we can learn from people who've been a little bit farther down the road from us. So, Brother Halsey, welcome to Lancaster Baptist, and share with us what God's put on your heart.
Thank you, Pastor. Open your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Any person who deals with the subject of what is commonly called faith promise we'll have to turn at some point to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, because this is a major New Testament passage for dealing with that truth. What begins in verse 1 of chapter 8 flows all the way through the chapter, all the way through chapter 9, and trickles over into chapter 10. Obviously, we can't deal with all of that, so we'll limit ourselves these next three nights to some truths I trust will be a great help to us. So let's first bow for just a moment of prayer. Father, I pray in Jesus' name that you bless us tonight as we study this word together. And may you be glorified, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 year prior to Paul's writing these words, he was in the city of Corinth and challenged them about a special need of those in Jerusalem. Hearing about their need, they quickly and zealously responded, and Paul assumed it sincerely. But after a year passes, Corinth does not keep that promise. When he left Corinth, however, he traveled to the province of Macedonia. He told those Macedonians what the Corinthians had promised, and hearing that, they likewise made a commitment to give. The difference was they kept their promise while Corinth did not. So now Paul writes to Corinth in chapter 8 to challenge them about that unfulfilled commitment. He does so first by giving them the example of the churches of Macedonia. In verse 1, he stated that God had bestowed grace on them. And by the way, God still bestows grace on Christians. And God bestows grace on churches. But whenever God bestows that grace, it's not bestowed to be bestowed, it's bestowed to be expressed. And then we see the expression of that grace down through verse 5. And let's look, please, at verse 2 at how that grace was expressed. How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded under the riches of their liberality. God bestowed the grace, and they gave and kept their promise in spite of affliction. But notice, not just simple affliction, it's called great affliction. They were suffering people. They knew trouble. They knew trial. They paid a tremendous price for their faith, but they made a promise, and they kept it. But after they gave that, and by the way, as they gave, they gave all they could give sacrificially, as we'll see in the next verse. But after they gave, in spite of their great affliction, they also gave in spite of deep poverty. Let me ask you a question tonight, and don't bother to answer me, at least out loud. But have you had a time in your life when your money just didn't go far enough? You looked at your budget, you looked at the income, and they just didn't match. And you knew either have to increase your income or decrease your expenses, and most of us would prefer to increase our income. So you look at your budget and see what you can take from your budget. Now, let me just give you this principle. If times are tough economically and you have to reduce your expenses, the first thing you take out of your budget is the thing you have the least love for, the thing you've assigned the lowest possible priority. Do you know where I'm headed with this? What I'm going to say is if you, in times of economic problems, first thing you chop out of your budget is your tithing or giving to mission, you prove something. You prove you love everything else in your budget more than you do God. These Macedonians, in spite of their suffering, gave. In spite of deep poverty, they gave also. But then please note down in verse 3 at the way that they gave. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, the willing of themselves. Notice they first gave to their power, which means according to their ability. Now they had very little. They were in deep poverty. So would you call that a sacrifice? I surely would. But after they had given all they could give sacrificially, they then gave beyond their power. And by the way, if it's beyond your power, you can't do it. If it's beyond your power and you do it, you're going to have some power from another source. You know, I know some people who struggle forever to understand what it means to give by faith. Now, if that is your problem tonight, quit trying to understand it. Give the way you do understand. You can understand sacrificial giving, so make a sacrifice promise to the Lord in this missions conference. They did. But after they did all they could do, they had a burden to do even more than that, and they then gave beyond their power by faith. There are some things that I can do without even praying about it. Some things I can do without exercising any faith at all. For instance, I really believe if I had to do it, I could pick up that speaker right here to my right. Would I have to have your help, Pastor? Would I need some others to come help me move it? No, I can do that. Well, since I'm on a roll, I checked out that piano while I was sitting over here a while ago, and I just think maybe I can lift that. But if I went over there to try to move that piano and couldn't budget, would you ever believe I can move the speaker? Of course you wouldn't. And if you won't sacrifice, you'll never give a dime by faith. That's where it begins, my friend. So I challenge you in this missions conference to give a sacrificial offering to the Lord for missions, and then beyond that, give a faith offering. Give a faith offering. And by the way, this passage is all about giving. Some years ago, I was in a conference in Boucherville, Quebec, just outside Montreal, and someone wrote a question on a card to be answered in an open forum. The question was, Brother Halsey, can you show us the verse in the New Testament that tells us that we're supposed to tithe today? That's a good question. I've heard it a lot of times, particularly as a pastor. I answer like this. Let me ask you a question. I think it's a better one. Can you show me a verse in the New Testament that says you don't have to tithe today? You see, I can prove it started. But if you try to find proof in the New Testament that has ended, you've got yourself a problem. Some say tithing started under the law. I don't believe that at all. I think tithing goes all the way back to creation. Remember in the Garden of Eden when God said to Adam, Adam, see all of us good stuff, yours, enjoy it. However, there is one tree here in the middle of the garden. Leave it alone. That's my tree. Now all of us know the theological significance of that tree and its fruit. Adam partook of it and became a sinner. And all the world was plunged into sin. But there's a principle there, and it's this. Out of all that God gave to man, he reserved a portion for himself. It's clear that Abraham understood that hundreds of years before the law was given when he brought the tithe to Melchizedek. It's clear also that his grandson Jacob understood that when he said this. Of all that God gives me, I will return a tenth unto him. Now, where did he learn it? He had always known it. So, my friend, this is all about giving, but giving starts with the tithe. And you cannot give a missions offering and then first you tithe. Now, if you plan to give a missions offering and not tithe, then don't steal God's offering, his tithe, to give your missions offering. Start there. Then after that, my friend, sacrifice. And after sacrifice, give by faith. Let's just expand this some. Many years ago, a godly man by the name of A.B. Simpson, probably and some others, coined the term faith promise. Now, that term's not found in the Bible. If I had been there, now, the principle of giving my faith is all through the Bible, but the term faith promise, we will not find those two words together. But the principle, again, is all through the Bible. Now, if I'd been with them at that time, but if I had been, I'd be dead. They all are. My wife wants to leave it like it is for now. But if I had been there, I would have said, hey, fellows, what do you say if we give us a Bible name? And one perhaps would have said, well, Brother Halsey, what would that be? And I would respond, it's right here in verse 1. God bestowed grace on those believers. Their giving was an expression of that grace. Because, you see, under grace, you can make a sacrifice promise. Under grace, you can make a faith promise. But let's kick it higher. Remember the story in the Gospels of the widow who came down one day to give her offering? Yeah, the rich folks were already there. She gets in line with them. They're walking through the line, casting and offering in the collection. The rich people come by and cast in large sums. Then here comes the widow, and she drops into the offering plate two mites, ping, ping, literally pennies. Jesus was standing there observing the offering. And by the way, Jesus always observes the offering. And he said this, this widow gave more than those rich folks. They gave out of their abundance, but she gave everything. Now here's a principle. Jesus is not criticizing those rich folks. He's just making a point. The point was, there's nothing wrong with what they gave, thank God for it. It's just that she gave more than they gave, because she gave all that she had. Now, there's a verse in the Old Testament that goes like this. It is he that giveth thee the power to get wealth. Did you realize tonight that the ability to accumulate material things is a gift from God? God has gifted some people with an entrepreneurial type of mind, where they can just think, come up with an idea, and make a fortune out of it. He's given a professional mind to some who can also give more than others. And in this building tonight, I'm sure there are many who have different levels of ability in terms of giving. But whenever God gives that gift, he anticipates good stewardship of it. Too much is given, of him shall be much required. So if God has made you more able to give than others, and God expects that you will give more than others. So you see, under grace giving, you can make a sacrifice promise. Under grace giving, you can make a faith promise. Under grace giving, you can make an abundance promise. We could add a fourth one. Give it all. That's what the widow did. That's what Barnabas did. Just let the Lord lay on your heart how he wants you to give in this missions conference this week. God bless you.
That was excellent. Thank you, Brother Halsey. And I agree with Brother Halsey. I've never referred to our missions giving as faith promise. I don't have a problem with that. I grew up hearing that term some too. But I really like the term grace giving, because the Bible says, see that you grow in this grace also. If someone's going to give their tithe and then in addition give to missions as an offering, that's got to be the grace of God that's putting that desire in our heart. And when that is something that the Lord's putting on your heart, it's a beautiful thing. And I pray that all of us will allow the Holy Spirit to do a work of grace within us this week.
Thank you so much for joining us today. If this message has helped you, we hope you will share with a friend or family member. We always love to hear from those whom God has changed through his word. Share your story with us at lancasterbaptist.org/contact.